Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Enterprise Dish. Before the show, and this isn't a normal introduction, Aaron started quizzing me about my hip-hop knowledge, and I gotta tell you, people, if this was Jeopardy, I would be walking out with zero or potentially negative dollars, but here we are.
I'm a passing fan of hip-hop. I'm not majorly into hip-hop. I'm just sort of a, I love all music, and I think Hip Hop Evolution is that show on Netflix. Oh, man. That they do a fantastic job covering it all. And the really great thing about that is that all those original people are still alive. Yep. So they got to interview everybody.
Oh, nice.
And they're so thorough about it. It really is super well done. So if, I don't know. Anyway, not to drag people back through our discussion of Public Enemy and all that. But yes,
it just shows that there is no bounds to the conversations on this podcast. Although we focus on, especially with Aaron, Windows and the IT pro genre, and yet sometimes you trickle out. So you trickle out. But since we've talked last, which every time these come up, like, hey, it's been a month, like it's end of February. A couple big things have happened. I'm giving myself full credit for the headline because I laughed when I wrote it. I said Microsoft is making changes to the L in Windows LTSC. Aaron, I want to paint this picture for you. So I'm a big space nerd, So this was last week when the rover was flying towards Mars, hurtling towards Mars, going through the atmosphere, the 7 minutes of terror. Now, put that time phrase on pause. Microsoft had 365 days to choose from and 24 hours in those particular day. They chose, while the rover was careening towards the Martian surface, rockets were firing, the crane is dropping, to announce that they are cutting the long and long-term servicing channel for both Windows and Office from 10 to 5 years as we touch down on Martian surface. That is...
did they do that on purpose because they knew this was going to upset so many people? You know, I wonder... if that was just merely coincidence, Brad, as I stroke my chin, right? I mean, that's the thing. I don't think it was. I think they know that people like the L. Mm-hmm. They like to have the latitude. Maybe L is for latitude for those of us who have to work in that, in the deep end of the pool. So I don't know, man. But yeah, it's a significant change. And I think the thing that people need to realize is that that was the way to get a clean OS. Probably not. No need to alert the media, especially with our technical listeners. But, there's all that AppX junk in there, too. And none of that, to my knowledge, exists in LTSC. So that was sort of the incentive for those of us who get our hands dirty in the operating system to go that route. As a result, I think a lot of people were opting for that and staying on it too long. And then there's potential for some downstream problems with that, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Meaning you sit on that for a long time and new hardware comes out and the hardware has different stuff and requires different drivers. And, you're sitting on an operating system that you haven't really done much with in 18 months or so, couple years or so. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, therein lies part of the challenge and part of the reason, I think, for the change. So
this dovetails nicely. It was actually a question we got in, I think it was end of last, it was sometime after I made this post, and usually we'd save it for the later in the podcast, but I think now is the right time to ask. And I have no idea if you have visibility into this or not, because Microsoft provides zero, but do you have, and we're not going to know a number, but maybe a rough idea of a percentage of how many, are a lot of people running LTSC? Because it's a black box for Microsoft. They won't discuss this topic. They won't say it's 2%. And I didn't know if you had any sort of gut about if people are clearly some people are running this. That's why they're making this change. But
right. In fact, are hard to put a number on it. I think I would be, wrong if I said a number. Mm-hmm. But talking about this kind of thing internally, especially with our people who've been in very, very large enterprise IT and, across industries, manufacturing, aerospace, you name it. The belief is that it's way more than you think.
Really?
So is it a majority? Maybe. Is it, but enough that we believe that that is the reason that they shortened it, that it was too long and too many people were taking advantage of this train. And so it's like, turning the dial down and saying, you all have to, you know, get on the faster bus. So that's our hunch, for better or worse.
Yeah.
And what does that mean for those of us who were doing the long term? Well, we just have to kind of suck it up and move a little faster.
Yeah.
You know, change process, which might actually be good because, you know, this 11th gen hardware, and I think it's going to be increasingly like this, is evolving, mm-hmm. right? I mean, and the evolutions are sort of non-trivial, and you need your operating system to keep pace with that. Right.
Yeah.
Which sort of goes into yet another topic, which is the next major release of Windows. And a lot of that is working to adapt to more complex and sophisticated devices.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so here again, we're having the operating system being able to talk to, you know, displays with embedded cameras on both sides and how all of that works. And it's complex.
Yeah, it is. It's a really interesting conversation, just because on one hand, I can empathize with the people who are choosing to run this, and especially for the companies that are, say, truly like installing this on a manufacturing piece of equipment that is just, you know, it sits on the factory floor. It's barely connected to anything, if at all. And like, those people are the people that should be running this. But we know that there's people like, gosh, I don't like Windows Update and I don't ever want to deal with it. Oh, I can install this and not have to touch it for 10 years. Wow.
Like, awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so this is sort of the interesting conflict maybe for Windows. Windows is a multi-purpose operating system. Mm-hmm. It's designed to help those of us that use it every day for all of our tasks to be as flexible as possible and to do as many tasks as possible and use as many different kind of apps on as many different kinds of devices as possible and have a very uniform experience. However, because of that flexibility, it's made it really easy for application developers to create and build on that platform for a specific job. And so then those devices become single purpose devices. But that single purpose device has all of the trimmings of that, very flexible sort of multi-purpose solution, including the attack surface, including the, you know, all the security related trimmings, including all of the everything, the APIs and, you know, all the trimmings. So it's sort of the pro and con of this, right? It's the yin and yang. You have the benefit of having this nice multi-purpose solution that makes it easy for a lot of people to understand, that makes it easy for you to make apps. But then when you turn that app into a single purpose solution or that operating system into a single purpose solution to support the app, you know, then you're sort of left with the task of keeping that platform up to date and avoiding the problems that we're starting to see more and more of these days, right?
Yeah, and then there's part of me in the back of my brain wondering too, is if Microsoft, I feel like they would have addressed this if they actually did see it, but it's like, did they see something, right? There's a lot of nation state kind of screwy things going on right now with a lot of different environments. And I don't know if Microsoft saw something that they didn't like or a trend that's really working against them, because the conversation I have with Microsoft all the time is they aren't responsible for securing Aaron's computer. But if Aaron's computer gets hacked, you know who takes the hit on that? It's Microsoft, right?
Yeah.
It's regardless of Aaron opened up all his ports, he deleted the fire, you know, for lack of better terms, deleted the firewall and just said, everybody can connect to me. Microsoft is the one that still gets dinged for that, not Aaron. And so I'm curious if Microsoft saw something that they didn't like, a trend, and they're trying to just get ahead of it before it happens.
Sure. I mean, and if not at a direct liability perspective, at a reputation level.
Yes.
Right. And I don't know if this is the right time to go back into this discussion about the mega nation state, mm-hmm. presumed nation state attack that was originally associated with SolarWinds. And I inaccurately, working off the information at the time, attributed it exclusively to SolarWinds and their failing. But, you know, this was a highly coordinated and based on what we've learned, mm-hmm. very large scale undertaking with, they're estimating like 1,000 engineers, like 1,000 devs were banging on exploiting everything that they could, including a bunch of vulnerabilities in Windows, specifically Active Directory related. And so this isn't just a SolarWinds problem. This is a risk of sort of the brute force of many, many engineers who know what they're doing, undertaking a very kind of long arc, long con, so to speak, effort to exploit computing systems. And it's concerning. This was lost. I think they testified yesterday. It was SolarWinds and FireEye and CrowdStrike.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yep. It's so easy to do.
and Microsoft, Amazon was invited, didn't show up, but AWS was implicated in it too. So all these people had a seat at the table, and it wasn't all just because they were the platform SolarWinds was sitting on. It was like a direct attack on vulnerabilities related to Active Directory and the ability to have service accounts with administrative permissions, self-signing certs that then just can run off and do anything against an API, more or less, that the API will allow. And so this is how some of this happened, right? So, and to that end, I think it was CrowdStrike published, well, CISA, right? The government agency published some good guidance about locking down Azure and locking down AWS and putting on some alerts and things like that I recommend anyone who has their fingers on any of this stuff goes and looks at and implements, number one. And then number two, I think it's CrowdStrike put out a tool that you can run and it'll kind of flag some stuff. And I don't know, I haven't looked at it. I just know that this tool exists. But that would be another thing that I think people owe it to themselves to look at. Mm-hmm. But, this is our present. This isn't the future. This is where we are. And this is going to be more the norm. And I think going back to sort of where we started with LTSC, this is part of the reason to shorten is we leave these things open and it's like, well, that was changed years ago. What are you doing? It's like, well, we have this deal and we can just run it. And it was sitting in the silo and it really is, we just punched this one little hole through the firewall to allow communication with this, whatever CNC machine or this, digital X-ray machine. And, it wasn't a problem until some really creative person figured out how to jump on and ride in on something that, basically you green lighted as IT. So it's complex, man. It's hard. Mm-hmm.
And it's only, you only have to have that one little issue. And then the whole thing, it's, I think hard is the appropriate way to do this because it's not even a cat and mouse game. It's a, like when, as you were talking, like there's a group of people, and I'm sure in multiple countries around the world, trying to actively, their whole job is to go into work and try to actively exploit software. There's very few people on the planet who go to work and all they try to do is actively try to secure their stuff. There's more people trying to attack you than to secure it because you're a business at the end of the day. Smart Deploy has to make software, and they have to make money. They can't just go into work every day and think about hardening down every single thing 24 hours a day because the business would cease to exist. And so then you have that's going up against the odds of 1,000 engineers sitting somewhere poking at software.
That's right. So the image that came to mind just now was in the movie Snatch, where they have this bet about the hare and the hound. Mm-hmm. And if the hare gets away, then they let you live or not get beat up or something. But if the dog catches the hare, then you're going to have to pay the piper. So the metaphor is a lot like that, where we're sort of all constantly on this chase. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't stop. And so for those of us, I think those of us, meaning probably everyone listening, we have the situation where we are pushed to be increasingly efficient.
Yep.
And our teams are getting ever compressed. Had a conversation or a question from a customer yesterday, said we're supporting 5,000 users with 2 IT people. Total IT organization of 2 FTE. And it was like, we feel for you. We get it. That's, and this is sort of what we make our stuff for, is this scenario where you don't have to be in super duper in the weeds in order to use our stuff. And so it was productive. It was good. But like this is the world we're in of expecting to be increasingly efficient and increasingly sort of lean agile teams and all these awesome buzzwords that yeah. then translate into, you know, barely getting everything done, right? Maximum efficiency mm-hmm. means no lost or wasted time. Well, if you don't have time to kind of clean up the shop, mechanic's car problem a little bit, right?
Yep.
So it's concerning.
It is. And to your point, it's not going away. So it's only going to get worse. I mean, let's just be honest. Like whoever was on the other side of that SolarWinds compromise, they looked at, right. That was probably a huge home run. Right. And they're like, okay, let's find the next one. And maybe the next one's already being exploited right now. We don't.
Right. And I think that's one of the other kind of concerning things going back to this. Oh, SolarWinds, what were they? You know, this could happen to anyone. And these, you know, holes exist and, you know, you never know. And they really got, you know, hosed on this one. Well, sure. Them and Microsoft and Amazon and on and on and on. And they're saying now all those organizations, including the cybersecurity organizations who were sort of the ones to turn this up, FireEye, are like, we still don't even know, really.
Yeah.
We don't know how far this has gone. We don't know the extent of this. We're still working on sort of nailing down the full scope of this and what all of this means. So, yeah, I mean, it is altogether possible that this was just the tip of the iceberg and there's a ton more going on. Maybe not, but and hopefully not.
Yeah.
But yes, you're exactly right, Brad, that we know, you know, public disclosure from some of our other customers and friends is some of these networks are hit hundreds of times a day. Private businesses, yep. Hundreds of times a day by, you know, the usual suspects, all these nation state attacks constantly.
Yeah.
So it's sort of a gnarly proposition for us mere mortals.
Well, things that are slightly more green, if you will. Microsoft has officially announced 20, I keep saying 20H1, but 21H1, the Windows update. And this is the update Aaron and I have always been waiting for because really nothing changes. It's just bug fixes and it's nice. I think I don't think Microsoft is ever going to, well, maybe they will fully admit that they're moving to a one update per year model, but that's what they've pretty much done for the past 2 years is one update in the fall.
That's exactly right. And we keep talking about this, I think, right? Like we go back to this hypothesis that the original model was fundamentally acceptable. Mm-hmm. You know, I was going to say well-conceived. I'm not sure it was that well-conceived, but it's not bad. It's functional.
Yeah.
And so they were like, oh, we're going to, you know, continuous releases in the last Windows ever. Not really. It's really like the way it used to be and probably will continue to be and is increasingly that way. So much so that it appears that 21H1, if I got it right, is going to roll out like an update, like not like an upgrade. So that'll make it easier and probably better and have fewer of the kinds of problems that we've talked about with, you know, kind of slipstreamed driver updates and things like that, that kind of can implode your system or whatever. Mm-hmm. So fingers crossed that goes that way. But the other question is, it's not that much stuff. So what's our incentive to install it, you know, aside from, you know, a few things that have a little better UX treatment and, you know, better support for a handful of devices? Is this really going to rock everyone's world such that we want to move fast on installing this? Or are we just going to wait for, is it 21H2 or whatever, plus one, that's really going to be the meaningful one to test and roll out?
Yeah.
So,
stuff. I'm happy. I'm not going to complain. I refuse to say anything negative about an update that doesn't break anything. Well, I should say, hopefully, and on paper, will not break anything, and life will just be normal and peachy. And actually, for most people, I say that cautiously. They won't even know they'd install it. It's just going to install like a Windows update, like a weekly or monthly update, unless you're on an older build, and then it does the full proper kind of Windows, not cleanse, but the whole reboot experience. So.
Yeah, I mean, we're all so jaded over here, right, in IT, that it's easy to be critical and easy to, you know, well, why are they even doing it? Well, they have to, right? I mean, this is a necessary step in this process, right? So you're right that if we got something and it's going to be easy to digest, great. You know, let's, and some of this has to happen in order to get on to the next stuff. So from Microsoft's perspective, yes, this has to happen. For those of us on the receiving side, I think there is a question of prioritization. And especially given the landscape that we've been talking about, you know, where does this fit in the context of all of the other things you're trying to do, and how much time, effort, energy do you have to put into test, you know, so on and so forth. So I think it's just a priority discussion. I think for average consumer users, easy enough to roll it out and just do it. For, you know, mid-size and larger companies, IT people in those size companies, a little more of a thing, potentially.
Fantastic. I didn't quite know how to wrap that up, but it felt fit. Like, I don't know. I think because you and I and many others have been talking about one update per year. That's all we need. Let's just be good with that. And I think at least as of right now, it kind of looks like we're there, and that makes me, you know, happy.
Yeah. And it should work for IT people too. Yeah. Right. I mean, a necessary one, an optional one.
Yep.
In order to do the necessary one, sometimes you have to first install the optional one, but just do that on your test machines, test everything once, run through one upgrade process once a year, and you're kind of good, right? That might be a way to approach this in a sustainable and sensible way.
So people, astute visual observers will notice that my background just went to sleep. So we'll end on this happy note. This machine installed an update recently, and it changed the sleep settings for the computer. What happened was the computer started to go to sleep, and so I smashed the keyboard, and then it brings it back up. It's supposed to be set on 1 hour is what I keep this machine on, because it sits here at this desk all day long, as 1 hour, because we don't have podcasts to go over that. And
yeah, I mean, you saw the ironies. The ironies, we're talking about how benign these updates are, and you know, a listener is like, these idiots are just rambling again, but it is funny that
it's like,
you know, and this is exactly what we're talking about. In this case, big deal, it'll wake back up, it's fine, but it is illustrative of the challenge.
Well, Aaron, we went from hip-hop to sleep settings, we had to solar winds to LTS. We had a wide batch, and very much appreciate you taking time out of your busy day. And to everybody else, you'll find good links down in the description below. Hit that subscribe button. We'll be back here in a month, which will be here probably before we know it.